This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Alphabet trades at a record following a blowout quarter.
UBS shares rise as the profit at the Swiss bank beats estimates.
Hearings in Washington begin on $16 billion of tariffs on Chinese products.
And stocks in China rally as the government unveils measures to boost domestic demand.
President Trump is weighing revoking the security clearances of several of his critics, plus the death toll has climbed from wildfires in Greece. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Yankee rally fell short. They lost to Tampa Bay, fell further behind the Red Sox. The Mets lost to San Diego.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Risk on feel to the markets this morning. S&P futures up 5 points, a rise of 0.2%. The Dow futures up 77 points, 0.3% higher. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures this morning, 7 points higher. That's up 0.1%. 10-year yield, 2.95%. And we have crude oil this morning. That is higher, up 0.6%, up 39 cents a barrel at $68.28, and Brent crude is up 27 cents a barrel at $73.34. Bob.
And John, Alphabet shares are trading at a record this morning. The shares are up more than 4%. This after the Google parent posted second quarter results that walloped Wall Street estimates. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pillett.
The online search giant had another strong quarter in the face of costly regulatory trouble in Europe. The company did report two different profit numbers to account for a $5 billion fine the European Union imposed last week for violating competition law with Google's Android mobile software. Google has continued to give search ads more prominent space on mobile phones, fueling the strong sales growth. Spending on Google Shopping search ads, which let marketers promote consumer products, increased 31% in the second quarter from a year earlier, according to data from digital marketing firm Merkle. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Shares of Whirlpool fell more than 9% in extended trading. The maker of home appliances is feeling the impact of the global trade war. The company says rising raw material costs hurt results in 3 out of 4 of its regional markets in the second quarter. Later today, we'll get earnings from 24 companies at the S&P 500. They include AT&T, Texas Instruments, and Harley-Davidson.
In Europe, shares of UBS are rising after Switzerland's biggest bank posted earnings that topped analyst estimates thanks to its wealth management business. CEO Sergio Ermotti says UBS will hit its targets for the year.
We also had a very good signal of a good momentum. Same store, financial advisor net new money was up threefold compared to last year. Outside the U.S., we had almost $6 billion of net new money. So overall, I'm still positive about our developments, and we don't look at net new money on a quarter-to-quarter basis, and I'm quite confident that the rest of the year is going to be okay.
UBS CEO Sergio Ermotti speaking to Bloomberg earlier. Shares of UBS are up more than 3%.
France's PSA has managed to do something with Germany's Opel car brand that General Motors couldn't do in 20 years. Make money! The maker of Peugeot and Citroën cars bought Opel from GM a year ago. PSA says it's now showing a profit. That has PSA shares up more than 9%.
In Turkey today, the central bank needs to raise rates to restore credibility or face a market rout. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
According to a Bloomberg survey, the median estimate of economists expect a rate hike of 100 basis points. This will be the first meeting since President Recep Tayyip Erdogan won the election a month ago and vowed to take more control over monetary policy. Erdogan holds an unorthodox view that lower rates help slow inflation. It's also the first meeting since he named his son-in-law, Berat Albayrak, to be the new economic chief. This could be a critical test of the central bank's independence. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Simin, thanks a lot. In China, stocks rose 1.6% after the government took action to support its economy. We get the details from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
China has unveiled a package of policies to increase domestic demand as trade tensions with the United States risk worsening the nation's economic slowdown. The measures announced following a meeting of the State Council in Beijing include a tax cut aimed at fostering research spending and special bonds for infrastructure investment. They are intended to form a more flexible response to external uncertainties that had been implied by budget tightening already in place for this year. With the economic impact of reciprocal tariffs on trade with the U.S. still unclear and no end to the trade dispute in sight, policymakers are using various tools to try to stabilize the economy. In Hong Kong, I'm Jody Schneider for Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jody, thank you. In Washington, meantime, it's the start of a two-day hearing on the $16 billion of additional tariffs being considered on Chinese products. Mark Niket reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Companies and industry groups have the chance to testify as to why their products should be removed from the list or added to the list if that's what they want. And then the administration will make decisions about products on the $16 billion list to impose. But it's really only preliminary at this point because waiting in the wings, there's a list of $200 billion in products that have been targeted for 10% tariffs. So while the companies are testifying today about the $16 billion list, there's still going to be fights to come over additional tariffs on other products. In Washington, Mark Niket, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Mark, thanks. Protectionism is starting to weigh on the euro area's economy. Growth in the region softened in July on the back of weaker new orders and deteriorating confidence. That's according to a survey of purchasing managers by IHS Market. Companies also reported rising prices for raw materials, delivery delays, and shortages, suggesting that tariffs or the threat thereof are already starting to disrupt global supply chains.
And Verizon wants to partner with Google or Apple when it rolls out the first superfast 5G service in California this year. Bloomberg has learned Verizon wants one of those companies to provide television service. It'll be offered in homes in Los Angeles and Sacramento. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Bob. 507 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Trump is considering revoking the security clearances of ex-CIA Director John Brennan and other Obama-era national security officials who have criticized him. There has been criticism of Trump's Helsinki summit last week with Russian leader Vladimir Putin and public doubts Trump expressed about U.S. intelligence findings that Russia interfered with the 2016 presidential election. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
When you have the highest level of security clearance, when you're the person that holds the nation's deepest, most sacred secrets at your hands, and you go out and you make false accusations against the president of the United States, he thinks that is something to be very concerned with.
Meanwhile, former Director of National Intelligence Michael Hayden said stripping his clearance won't silence him of his criticism of Trump. The trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is delayed until July 31st. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro explains why.
A federal judge gave defense attorneys more time to review tens of thousands of documents. The judge also granted five potential witnesses immunity to testify. They include people from an accounting firm used by Manafort and others who appear to have worked for the Federal Savings Bank in Chicago, which provided him millions of dollars in mortgage loans. Special counsel Robert Mueller's office is charging Manafort with bank and tax fraud. The jury selection process could begin this week. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
The death toll from twin wildfires that raged through Greek seaside areas increased to 49 after rescue crews reported finding the bodies of more than 20 people huddled closely together near a beach northeast of Athens. French President Emmanuel Macron is in damage control mode after an incident involving a bodyguard. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
Emmanuel Macron is more alone than ever after his interior minister and the head of the Paris police used parliamentary hearings Monday to place all the blame on the presidential palace for the affair of Macron's 26-year-old bodyguard who beat protesters at a May Day rally. Most French accuse Macron of having tried to cover up the affair, and the president has avoided speaking publicly for 6 days. Instead, he sent out close aides to insist that he's taking the matter seriously and is reorganizing his office. With Macron's governing style coming under fire, it adds up to the first real crisis of his presidency. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks very much. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, a rare bad outing for Yankee ace Luis Severino, who was seeking his major league leading 15th win, didn't have it at Tampa Bay. Gave up 7 runs on 11 hits. The Yanks fell behind 7-3. They cut it to 7-6. They seemed poised for a ninth inning rally. Bases loaded with one out. The tying run got forced at the plate. And then with two out, a strange way to end the game.
Hit on the ground to second. Robertson throws, not in time to throw to first, in time to win the ball game. Tampa wins. It was a hard ground ball to Robertson, who was behind second. And he flipped to Adames, not in time, but the throw to first easily got Sanchez, and Tampa wins the game 7-6.
WFAN, the call, Gary Sanchez coming off a groin injury, but he admitted after the game he should have been hustling more down the line. Red Sox won again. Boston is 71-31. 6 games ahead of the Yanks. As usual, not much run support for Jacob DeGrom. Padres beat the Mets at Citi Field 3-2. DeGrom 5-5 despite a 1.71 ERA. Carmelo Anthony, who suffered through and was at times blamed for a lot of Nick losses, for the first time in his career will be on what figures to be a really good team. He's going to Houston. The Rockets won 65 times last year, nearly beat Golden State in the playoffs. Giants veterans will be at training camp tomorrow, and Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to be among them, despite his desire to land a new contract. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. The Meadowlands Racetrack in New Jersey took in nearly $3.5 million in sports bets during the first 9 days of accepting such wagers. Most of that came from 2 weekends that sandwiched a dead period for major professional sports caused by the All-Star break in baseball. That's when there was little to bet on. With basketball and soccer World Cup over, and football, hockey months away from the beginning of their seasons. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's 5:17 of Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Definite risk on field to the equity markets today. Earnings driving a lot of that sentiment. S&P futures right now up 5 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures are 83 points higher. That's up 0.3%. And the NASDAQ futures are up 8 points. That's up 0.1%. Taking a look at some of the currencies right now, the euro 116.89, relatively unchanged against the U.S. dollar. One of the beneficiaries this morning, the yen, 111.17. That's up 0.2%. Against the dollar. Pound sterling, $1.31 right now. That's up 0.1%. And as we look at Bitcoin, getting a bid this morning, up 3.75%, 7,991. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note, 2.95%. Equity futures edging higher with a slew of positive earnings boosting investor sentiment. Also, after China's efforts to support its economy spurred higher risk assets across Asia, the euro cut an earlier decline after we got to some manufacturing data out of Germany. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we say good morning once again to Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Canadian investigators are trying to find out why a 29-year-old man fired a handgun into restaurants and cafes in Toronto, killing a 10-year-old girl and an 18-year-old woman. The family of Faisal Hussein says he suffered from psychosis and depression for years. The Spanish government says it has sent 2 amphibious planes to help fight forest fires in seaside areas of Greece that have killed at least 49 people outside of Athens. President Trump is considering revoking the security clearances of former CIA Director John Brennan and other Obama-era national security officials who have criticized him. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks a lot. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. Let's bring in our first guest this morning, Jeremy Stretch, the executive director, head of G10 FX Strategy for CIBC. Jeremy joins us from London this morning. Good to talk to you once again. Looks like the Chinese, once again, are driving the currency markets. Let me get right to it. With respect to the renminbi, is it overvalued or undervalued? What's your take?
Well, I think in the context of the currency, it has been moving very much in lockstep with other major currencies. So I think it is very much more akin to a broader sort of metric in terms of valuations. At current levels, I would say that the currency is discounting an awful lot of negative news as far as China is concerned. So indeed, we would anticipate that the Chinese currency is likely to rebound in the latter stages of this year. So you know, anything up towards a sort of 690 level in dollar CNH, I think, is providing some value. I think the economy is, as I say, discounting lots of bad news, and we would anticipate dollar CNH trading back towards 660 or even 650 over the course of the next 6 months or so.
Is Donald Trump right when he criticizes the level at which it trades?
I think, in a sense, some of his criticisms do seem a little, how should we say, perhaps outdated in the context of the dynamics of the Chinese economy. So clearly, you know, the US want to be as competitive as possible, and that, of course, makes sense. But to artificially to accuse the Chinese of artificially depreciating or devaluing the currency, I think, is a little bit rich because, of course, as I say, we have seen the Chinese currency moving in a similar fashion to most other developed currencies. And if you actually look at sort of the year-to-date returns against the US dollar, the Chinese unit is, you know, roughly oscillating in a very similar fashion or trading in a similar sort of level to the sort of the weakness that we've seen in sterling. It's performing a little better than some of the dollar block commodity currencies, for example. So I think it's very much a function of the dynamics on the US side of the equation. And I think to argue and criticize the Chinese may be somewhat missing the point.
Is the Chinese economy finally starting to grow up, get a little more mature as they focus on domestic demand?
Well, I think in a sense markets have underestimated for a number of years, in effect, how quickly or how significantly the economics of the Chinese economy have changed. I think if you actually look at the composition of growth, it has moved progressively and significantly towards being driven more by domestic demand rather than that low-cost manufactured export base. We have, of course, seen the increase in wages over the course of the last 5 years or so, removing or reducing the competitive advantage that Chinese manufacturers have historically had. They've also been moving up the value chain. And, of course, you could argue that's potentially at the expense of overseas competitors because of the use of foreign technology, stolen or otherwise. But I think domestic demand is becoming a much greater component of Chinese economic activity. And it is meaning that the growth trajectory will naturally slow and the economy becomes a little more orientated in a way that we see or more akin to Western economies with domestic demand and or consumption being the primary drivers.
German data today. So give us your view of where the euro economy is and where it's headed and what that means for the euro.
Well, I think we can safely say that the eurozone economy is not registering the same momentum that it had in Q4 last year. But that in itself doesn't necessarily suggest that there is an overt concern about the eurozone outlook, because, of course, the rate of growth or the trend rate of growth in the eurozone is relatively slow. So I think in the context of the German data, I think it does suggest that the deceleration that we've seen in the first half of this year has been largely fully discounted. I think we are going to see, trade tensions notwithstanding, but we are going to see some improved circumstances or improved momentum in the eurozone economy in the second half of this year. And I think that will embolden the ECB rate hawks, and I think that will also drive the euro a little bit higher from current levels. So I think where we are now, obviously on the back of the market being forced to discuss the changing bias from the ECB at the last meeting, I think at these sort of levels, this sort of 116, 117 level, does provide opportunities over the course of the next 6 months or so, because I think the ECB will be acting perhaps a little bit earlier than the market is currently discounting. Mm-hmm. And I think that will encourage the euro to gradually make some modest gains. And I think we can and will see a move back above that sort of 120 threshold into the early part of 2019.
Jeremy, thanks very much. We appreciate your time today. Jeremy Stretch, Executive Director, Head of G10 FX Strategy at the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, CIBC, joining us from London this morning. And as we look at the euro, 116.89, relatively unchanged right now against the dollar. The Japanese yen, 111.20. That is up 0.1% against the U.S. dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning when the S&P futures point to a higher open. They're up 5 points. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success. With local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail, BNB Bank. Many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are rising. Stocks in Asia posted strong gains today after new efforts from China to support its economy. We get details from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in our Singapore bureau.
Bob and John, the CSI 300 gained over 1.5%. Industrial stocks led the gains after the government unveiled a package of measures to boost domestic demand amid simmering trade tensions. The yuan slid as much as 0.6% to its lowest level against the dollar in more than a year, a day after a record injection of funding for banks. China's benchmark 10-year bond yield jumped to a four-week high. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Julia. Protectionism is starting to weigh on the euro area's economy. A survey of purchasing managers shows growth in the region softened in July.
In Turkey today, we get a rate decision from the central bank at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. Policymakers are expected to raise rates to restore credibility or face a possible market rout.
On the corporate front, shares of UBS are up more than 3% in Zurich. Quarterly results for the firm's wealth management and investment bank businesses both beat estimates.
Alphabet shares are up 4% in early trading. Google's parent company posted second quarter results that far surpassed expectations. The stock is on course to open at a record.
Two dozen companies in the S&P 500 report earnings today, including AT&T. Let's get a preview in this report from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Investors are anxious to hear from executives after the company received a federal court's approval to acquire Time Warner. It is expected executives will use the earnings call to update the company's digital ad strategy. Financial targets will also have to be revised. Forecasts are for the company to post an adjusted profit of 87 cents a share on revenue of $38.75 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Jeff, thank you very much. It is now 5:32 on Wall Street. S&P futures are currently up 5 points. That is 0.2%.
And we have the euro right now at 116. That's relatively unchanged against the U.S. dollar. The Japanese yen, 111.21. That's up 0.1% right now. And we have Bitcoin getting a bid, up 3.7% at 79.87. The 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.95%. German DAX up 1.4%. And the CAC in Paris up about 1%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Trump is looking to remove the security clearances of a bunch of former Obama administration officials, including former CIA Director John Brennan and former National Intelligence Director Jim Clapper. Brennan last week called Trump's news conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin nothing short of treasonous. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances.
The president's critics say Trump's latest attempt to silence former top national security officials is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. House Democrats have introduced a resolution to condemn President Trump because of his embrace of Russian President Putin. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports from Washington.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says Congress must put partisanship aside by making it clear both parties reject what she calls the president's failure to stand up to Vladimir Putin.
This is about the security of the United States of America.
She says U.S. foreign policy is supposed to keep the military strong, advance the economy, and spread American values.
What the president is doing undermines much of those three pillars of our foreign policy.
The president again called evidence of Russian election meddling a hoax. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
The Trump administration has issued a counterproposal for the president to meet with special counsel Robert Mueller. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It says it could include questions about collusion, but not obstruction of justice. Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says limitations make sense because if Mueller and his staff believed witnesses who contradict the president's account, i.e. James Comey, it could lead to perjury allegations. Earlier this month, Giuliani said the president might be willing to answer a narrow range of questions. Now we know what that narrow range is. Mueller has not responded to this proposal. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Greece's fire department says 49 people are confirmed to have died in forest fires that have swept through popular seaside holiday areas near Athens. Today's runoff election in Georgia will decide which Republican will run for governor in November. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle is up against Secretary of State Brian Kemp. The winner will face Democrat Stacey Abrams in the fall. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, Luis Severino had become an almost sure thing on the mound for the Yankees, a 14-2 record, but last night his worst outing of the season. In five innings, gave up seven runs on 11 hits, including a three-run homer by Tampa Bay's Jake Bowers. A Yankee rally fell short. They lost to the Rays 7-6. Giancarlo Stanton had four hits in defeat. Yanks had the bases loaded in the ninth inning. Gary Sanchez hit a ground ball up the middle. Aaron Hicks actually beat the throw to second base, but the throw that went to first beat Sanchez easily. He admitted afterwards he should have been hustling more. Red Sox won 5-3 at Baltimore. Boston now six games ahead of the Yanks. Mets lost at home to San Diego 3-2. Another wasted good outing from Jacob DeGrom. And forget about the Mets calling up Tim Tebow. He's got a season-ending broken hand, headed for surgery. The Mets general manager, John Rico.
To see a guy who in a couple of short years is now competing at the AA level, thriving, really. I mean, the last couple of months, he was playing really well. So I don't see how that could be anything but a positive. Obviously, you know, the age factor is there, and it's you know, tough for him to miss this last month. I view this as nothing but a positive. He's really gone out and shown great and made great strides.
Tebow's season ends with a .273 average. In Cincinnati last night, Major League debut for the Cardinals' Daniel Ponce de Leon. It came after his career nearly ended last year when he was hit in the head by a line drive. And Ponce de Leon threw seven innings and did not allow a hit. He got taken out with a no-hitter going, and the Reds scored two in the bottom of the ninth and beat St. Louis 2-1. As expected, Carmelo Anthony signed with the Houston Rockets. Odell Beckham says he will not be a holdout. He'll be at Giants training camp tomorrow. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on the possible lasting effects from the brewing trade war. Also in this week's issue, Japan's burgeoning industry of cleaning up after the departed. Jillian Goldman edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
When her mother died, she felt she couldn't count on her family to clean up her mother's effects when her mother finally passed. And she thought, well, wouldn't it be great to be able to hire someone who could do this for me?
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now to check in with the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Joan Doniger. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, John. Hedge fund manager Leon Cooperman says he knows when to fold them, so he will convert his Omega Advisors into a family office at the end of the year. Cooperman says this is not a decision driven by health concerns, but he says he wants to spend his remaining years not having to chase the S&P 500. He'll manage his own money, he says, rather than that of other investors. Major cutbacks at the Daily News. Tronc, the media company that bought the paper last year, has fired more than 40 newsroom employees, including most of the sports and photo staffs. The Daily News has lost millions of dollars as it tried to replace revenue that used to be supplied by classified ads. Hartford and Albany are among the six markets targeted in a media blitz rolled out to tout the grand opening of the MGM Springfield Casino. The gambling and entertainment complex in Massachusetts is set to open in about a month. The Hartford Courant reports MGM will not say how much it's spending on the campaign. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. John?
All right, thanks, Joan. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Home appliance giant Whirlpool is feeling the pain from the Trump administration's trade war.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm talking about the Philly Fed non-manufacturing survey.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on UK living standards rising at the slowest pace since 2012.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from 3M.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on earnings as well as 5G TV plans at Verizon.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Barclays says British prosecutors will try to reinstate fraud charges against the bank. Those charges have to do with a 2008 capital raising with the nation of Qatar. A judge in London dismissed the case in May. If Barclays had been convicted, it could have hurt the bank's ability to do business globally. And S&P futures right now up 6 points. The Dow futures up 95. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network for built for Twitter. It's 24/7 news from Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries, streaming live on Twitter.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is now 5:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Definite risk on field to the markets this morning. S&P futures up about 7 points, a rise of 0.2%. The Dow futures up 99 points. That's up 0.4%. The Nasdaq futures up 15 points, up 0.2%. All pointing to a firm open this morning. Google parent Alphabet climbing as well after their earnings report, a bang-up quarter, as shares in Asia rallying on news that China is going to increase spending on infrastructure, among other measures, to try and bolster growth. The Chinese currency slipping a day after a record injection of funding for banks. The euro this morning, 116.82, relatively unchanged against the dollar. The Japanese yen, 111.22, that's up 0.1% against the dollar. And we have the 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.94% right now. The spread between twos and tens, 31 basis points. Some curve steepening there. NYMEX crude this morning is up 35 cents a barrel. That's up 0.5% at 68.24. The international benchmark Brent crude up 14 cents a barrel at 73.20 a barrel. That's up 0.2%. And we have COMEX gold down $1.30 at 12.33.10. The FTSE in London up 0.9%. The CAC in Germany up 1%. And the German DAX up 1.5%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Georgia voters go to the polls today to decide which Republican will face Democrat Stacey Abrams in the November election for governor. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle faces Secretary of State Brian Kemp. Cagle has the backing of Georgia Governor Nathan Deal and the NRA. Kemp has been endorsed by President Trump. Greek fire officials now say 49 people have been killed and more than 100 others injured as two out-of-control wildfires continue to rage around Athens. North Korea appears to have started dismantling key facilities at its main launch site. in a step toward fulfilling a commitment made by leader Kim Jong-un at the Singapore summit. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The A's won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Let's dig a little deeper now into those earnings from UBS we mentioned earlier this morning. Shares are up more than 3% after profit-topped estimates. UBS CEO Sergio Ermotti sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Manus Krenny following those results to discuss the firm's investment business, the brewing trade war, and the current state of global banking. Let's listen into that conversation now.
Looks like everything's going splendidly at the investment bank, looking at the rates business, looking at the FX business. Just how strong a quarter was that, and can that momentum continue?
If you look at our performance in FX, you have to look at the base. Q2 17 was a very weak quarter. Yep. In terms of volatility. You remember was quite challenging. So in the second quarter this year, we had a more normalized environment, but also we had the effect of gaining market share because of our rolling out of our electronic execution engines, and I'm very pleased with the performance of our IB and particularly the FX and FRC businesses.
Was there any consequential market share won as a result of dislocation around the other investment banks?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think I would capture a thing. The competitive landscape is quite full and diverse, so I think it's not one or two players that makes a big difference if they slow down.
Talk to me about the clients. Are they taking a bit of cover? It's been a fairly volatile 6-7 weeks. Is there a sense of deleveraging from the clients?
I think if you look in general, particularly when I looking at U.S. clients as a proxy to answer your question, it's quite interesting because they are still quite constructive about the future. So in terms of how they see the economy, mm-hmm. the outlook, but if you look at their asset allocation, particularly on stocks, it's quite stable. And most importantly, if you measure compared to the last to the third quarter of 17 mm-hmm. till today, they had an increase of cash balances of 5% from to around mid-20s. So it's quite interesting to see that they are constructive, but on the other hand, they are not really moving their portfolios a lot. They are quite focused on maintaining their positions, and so which is not good for transactions, and they are increasing their cash balances.
Larry Fink, we caught up with him on his results. He said if we go to a fully exploded trade war between the United States and China, markets, quoted markets, could come down by 10 to 15%. What is the Ermotti call on the consequence of perhaps an explosion of these trade wars?
Well, look, if you look at the performance of the market last year was up 20% or more. So I think at the end of the day, 10, 15% correction is in the cards and can happen anytime. I do see also...
Could a trade war trigger that kind of correction?
I think it doesn't needs to be a war. It just needs to be a constant escalation, and there is also potentially a physiological need for the mm-hmm. markets to correct, and I think it's in the card. We believe that these tensions eventually will be resolved, mm-hmm. but our view is that things can get worse before they get better.
That is UBS CEO Sergio Ermotti speaking to Bloomberg's Manus Krenny after second quarter results from the Swiss bank that topped estimates. Shares of UBS are currently up more than 3% this morning.
It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The U.S. would see its first gas tax increase since 1993 under a measure released by Pennsylvania Republican Representative Bill Schuster. The bill calls for a 15-cent hike for gasoline and 20-cent hike for diesel. The Heritage Foundation says a typical household in the U.S. will see a decrease in their tax liability this year because of changes in the 2017 tax law. And House Majority Whip Steve Scalise has introduced a bill to scrap decades-old rules requiring cable and satellite providers to carry local broadcast stations.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now in other legal news, let's look at a wave of legal action against President Trump's policies that could put many cases related to the president in front of the Supreme Court this fall. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Peter Barnes speaks with Kimberly Robinson, the Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg Law.
And Kimberly, your story on the terminal says that a Trump term could be coming to the high court. How so?
We already see a couple of cases that are near and dear to the Trump administration's heart on the docket already, and those are cases involving immigration and reigning in administrative power. But there are plenty of Trump administration policies that are being challenged in federal courts and are working their way up quickly to the Supreme Court.
A critical question in all of this is whether or not Brett Kavanaugh will be on the court.
That's right. And Brett Kavanaugh would be replacing Justice Kennedy, who on a number of these issues did tend to vote for the executive and therefore would likely vote for the Trump administration. So I'm not sure that that's going to be a huge change if Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed to the court as we expect him to be.
Let's talk about the Russia investigation because, you know, the president keeps calling it a witch hunt. And if for any reason Robert Mueller's investigation actually gets to the president directly, we could see that at the high court, too.
Well, that's right. That's exactly the kind of cases the Supreme Court would want to decide for itself. And we've seen whenever cases come against previous presidents that those cases make it up to the Supreme Court very, very rapidly. So if anything with the Russia investigation, even if it's not a collusion charge, but also even if it has to deal with him testifying in front of a grand jury, that's something that's going to come up to the court very, very rapidly.
And this is where Kavanaugh's opinions could have a major impact. What has Kavanaugh said about investigations into sitting presidents?
This is something that could potentially be different from his predecessor, Justice Kennedy. You know, Brett Kavanaugh worked on the investigation of the Clinton administration and then worked in the Bush White House. And during those experiences, he came to discover that it was very hard for presidents to go about their business while they have these kinds of lawsuits against them. And so he's been very sympathetic to the executive. But importantly, you know, this was his opinion. It is not his view of the law. And so we really don't know how Brett Kavanaugh would vote on an issue like that.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson speaking with Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And we have futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. S&P futures up 7 points, a rise of 0.2%. The Dow futures 100 points higher this morning. That's up 0.4%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures up 15 points. That's up 0.2%. This comes on the back of solid earnings reports. And the 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.94%. That is climbing. The spread between twos and tens right now, 32 basis points, so a steepening of the yield curve. We have COMEX gold down 70 cents a barrel at 70 cents an ounce at 1233.70. And Brent crude is up 13 cents a barrel. That's up 0.2 at 73.19. NYMEX crude is up 32 cents a barrel at 68.21. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.